Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. And today I'm going to be interviewing Ralph Jans, who's the Managing Director of Research to Guidance. And we're going to be talking about his company's Pharma App Benchmarking Survey and Report, and also what changes pharmaceutical companies can make in order to deliver more useful mHealth apps for consumers and patients. Okay, so I want to welcome my guest, Ralph. Good morning or good afternoon. You're in Germany at the moment, correct?
Germany, that's right, yeah, and good afternoon. Yeah, good afternoon to all of you.
Well, thanks for taking your time and being a guest and talking about this. Maybe before we get started, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and Research to Guidance? And
sure.
Then we'll get into discussing the benchmarking.
Sure. I mean, very briefly, Research to Guidance is the... It's an analyst boutique company focusing on the app economy. mHealth has been always one of the major segments we are covering since the beginning. We are based in Germany, but all of our studies which we conduct, all of the reports we produce are mainly global. Customers are coming from all over the world. We do have those reports, but we also have our clients here to become more successful in the app economy. And and then we produce those reports, and about one of those we will talk today.
Okay. Well, I got interested in this because I saw an interesting diagram in your 2014 benchmarking report, and I guess one of the conclusions of that report was that leading pharma companies are trying hard, but most of them fail to have a significant impact on the mHealth app market. And this diagram showed three groupings of pharma companies and how their apps are downloaded. And let's just get into what you found out in that report and talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I mean, what we did when we started it, yeah, we put out some hypotheses and said hypothesis would be that pharma companies, they didn't show really up in the top ranking of those app stores. Yeah, why is that? Is there a reason for that? Might there be a reason because they don't take care of the app channel? Might there be a reason for that? Yeah, because they have not the right resources to do this, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then we said we look at the biggest pharma companies that we have over the year and analyzed their app portfolios. Yeah. And it was quite interesting what we found out. Yeah. It is not a question of not wanting. Yeah. It is really obvious that they really tried hard. Yeah. They published more than 700 apps coming from those 12 leading pharma companies. So they tried hard. They published a lot of apps. They put a lot of effort in that internally and most likely also with external agencies. And those projects, they normally take very long, so it's not a question of they don't want to, they don't want to put an effort in that. So they put a lot of effort in that. And but the results so far, they are not really very charming for those companies. And the results, I mean, how can you measure the results? Obviously, there is a benefit in trying, in finding out how patients or doctors making use of pharma apps. I mean, just to find out is the value of it. But is it enough? No. I think most of the apps that target private users. So their intention must have been also to get a lot of reach. for their purposes, for the use cases, but to get into the hands of many, many, many patients and private users. Have they achieved that? No, they don't really. And that's also visible because they don't show up in the top ranks. So from those 700 apps they published, they generated a reach of 7 million downloads since 2009. So that's just a fraction of the overall mHealth market. And the active user base is even smaller because, as everybody knows, not everybody who's downloaded an app is actually using it. So all this effort they put into the app channel resulted into a user base of less than a million. And if you compare that with the likes, with those startup company like publishers, which are 150% dedicated to their product, be it a fitness app, be it a medical condition management app, or a pill reminder, or you name it, and compare the results so far from the app portfolio of those pharma companies, I think that must be really disappointing for those multinational companies which play such a major role in the healthcare market, in the traditional healthcare market, but they don't really have now a footprint in the mobile app market so far.
Okay,
also, they have tried.
They have tried.
Go ahead. They have tried.
Well, first, we'd like to talk a little bit about what you think can be done to improve that. But let me first ask this. I mean, you're comparing I have a couple of questions. Like, you're comparing it to publishers who downloads, I guess, from publishers who do fitness apps for the general population. Pharma companies, their audience might be much less, much fewer than that to begin with. Do you think it's fair to make a comparison with the fitness apps when some pharma companies might consider, I don't know what 7 million downloads divided by 700 is, but it may be a very satisfying result for some pharma companies to have that many downloads. Are you just looking at consumer apps, consumer focus apps, or also healthcare professional apps aimed at healthcare professionals?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously it makes a difference if you have an app which is targeting the healthcare professionals, be it a nurse or be it a doctor, whether an app targets a fitness-seeking or fitness-tracking person. But what I said, most of the apps target the second target group. So they target us, trying to help us to get the right recipe, to eat healthy, to track our steps, to do exactly the same. We even found yoga apps in there.
You mean from pharma companies?
From a pharma company. You wouldn't believe. Okay. We also find games, where they publish games in there. So it is not that they target just the doctors and then have all those, for example, COPD targeting application or management application, which only the doctors can understand and use.
Right.
So it's not the case. So they have a comparable app portfolio, maybe with a slight more emphasis putting onto those apps which are targeting their doctors, but it is not that significant. Then the other point I want to make is, if you look at the 700 apps targeting mainly us as a private user, then as with the rest of the market, 80% of the apps are being just in the long tail, meaning that they are not being downloaded, not being used at all. And all those 7 million downloads, they're just coming from a few apps. So the top 5, or let's say the top 10 of those 700 apps, they generate they're responsible for 70% of all the downloads. So we talk about a long, long, long tail of apps which have been put out to the market, targeting private users, competing with all the likes, with all the fitness and nutrition and conditional management. Reference apps is a big category. With all those apps which are out in the market and are not being downloaded. That's a hard truth.
Well, let's talk about what differentiates the successful pharma apps from those that are not. And I see on your research results here, the companies that have above average number of downloads anyway are companies like Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Sanofi, and GSK. Can you tell us a little bit what you learned that differentiates them from the others?
I think the chart might be a bit misleading, saying that there is within those top 12 pharma companies, there is kind of a best in class. There's even if you look at the chart, that might be the first impression. But what we wanted to show there is that between those 12, there is a big difference. The difference mainly comes from just one app. So, for example, for Merck, they have one app where you think, okay, what does it have to do with the company, basically, or with the mobile channel? It's an app it's a learning app which provides information about the periodic system. And that is responsible for the majority of all the downloads. That's why Merck is being one of the above average pharma companies in terms of download numbers. Same applies to all the others in that quadrant. So I wouldn't call it success, their downloads are mainly coming from just one successful app. And what they haven't really managed is to convert this success of this one app to all the others they have in their portfolio. So they might have one app which has a million downloads, but they were not able to lift all the other downloads and to cross promote the other applications with the help of this successful app. So there still, for those companies, there's still a lot of things to be done and a lot of improvement areas to manage their app portfolio.
Okay. Well, we could talk a little bit more about what works and what doesn't, but I know that you are currently doing a new benchmarking survey for 2015. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and who you would like to respond to the survey and how they might do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's great that we talk about it. It's not. We are doing that since 2010. Every year, we asked the mHealth app developer community, as well as the responsible persons within the healthcare companies responsible for the app business. What is the current status of the app economy? How do they make money? Do they make money? What are their business models? What are the target groups? What are the chronic diseases they think mobile apps could support best? What are the best distribution channels? What is the role of wearables and the importance of implantable sensors? And so on and so forth. It's a very comprehensive study which we conduct every year. I think it's the largest study globally of that kind, and it is not only specifically targeting pharma apps, it's targeting the mHealth industry, and we invite everybody who has something to say about mHealth apps to participate in that survey. It's open since 3 days, and you can find the survey entrance on our website, www.mhealtheconomics.com, and Yeah, so that's it. So it's really the largest study globally on mHealth's economy.
Okay. Well, of course, we're focusing here on the pharmaceutical industry, and we'd like to talk a little bit more about that. I know that in another report, I think, from your company, you talked about other ways in which pharma companies can get involved in developing and distributing mHealth mobile apps that are useful for patients and physicians. And we've been talking so far about, I think, about apps that are completely developed by pharmaceutical companies rather than in conjunction with other publishers. But you had a few different ways in which you suggested a few different ways that pharma can work with other ways to get useful apps out there. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if we look at the results from this analysis, we thought maybe it makes sense here for only those 12 companies, but I guess for quite the majority of the pharma companies to lean back a while, think what have we achieved over the last 5 years, and if we would go on in the same way of publishing one app after the other in the next 5 years, or in 5 years' time, would we have similar results? Would we have a similar impact or missing impact in the mHealth market as we have today? And if that is the assumption, what can we change? And obviously, if we look at those 700 apps, there are lots of things should be changed in how those apps are being developed and how they look like, what the use case is, and the value they provide for their users. But besides that, I think there's a value for pharma companies to lean back and to think about their role, whether publishing application is really the right thing for them to do, or if they should become more an enabler for those, as I mentioned earlier, for those 150% dedicated garage type of mHealth app developers, and enable them to become more successful, and then deliver those innovative and maybe state-of-the-art applications which have a much higher chance of getting those downloads and user numbers you would want to see to increase compliance for your medication, to track better the health conditions of a user, and so on and so forth. So we thought it would make sense to step back and get into a process of defining the right role pharma companies should play in, and enabling roles would maybe be a better option for them than just being a publisher.
Right. So one of the roles that you had was be an mHealth app investor, right? And I know that Bayer Healthcare, for example, in Germany, has been doing this for a while with its, I think they call it Grants for Apps program. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's one way of getting talents, of also linking them to your business, and also learning from those startups. Basically, it is a yearly program. They invite five companies to work from within their premises. So they provide office space, and then they provide also a 50,000 euro grant. Then they help them also with management attention and access to the industry channels and to the knowledge for a period of 3 months, basically. And then they leave them out and out of the office space, and also in some cases, stay attached to this to these companies, do partnerships, stay invested into those companies. So it's one way of finding out, finding the right solutions, staying involved, without being a publisher yourself.
Right. Well, I think it fulfills kind of maybe two roles that you mentioned. One is an investor, and then they also are an incubator. As you mentioned, they provide office space and help them get their business started. I guess that's what a mHealth incubator means, correct?
That's right, and the feedback, we talked with quite a few of those startups running through those programs, and the value they receive there is, okay, obviously they get some money, but it is not the major thing. They get access to the industry. They get access to distribution channels. They get access to knowledge, to a high-level board member knowledge, management knowledge, how to define the business model correctly so that it works in the healthcare industry. So that's the value pharma companies could bring into the table, which really is of great value for those startup companies, which might have a great idea in the first place, but to monetize the idea, they need help from the pharma guys.
I guess it also works both ways, where the people within Bayer get to see what's going on in this new technology, which might be very helpful also.
Definitely.
Now, the other one other thing you mentioned was interesting. I'd like to get a better idea what you mean by it, is mHealth App Aggregator. Can you explain that a little bit, what you mean by that?
I think there's, from a pharma company perspective, if you look at the app portfolio, it's as broad as any, as the whole market. So they publish everything from games to reference app to medical condition management apps and so on and so forth. So, the main problem there is they might have a lot of use cases which help them in their business. The main problem with not only mHealth app, but with the whole app economy is becoming visibility in the market. So I think there's also a potential role for those pharma companies to selecting and providing visibility of the apps which provide value. So think of it as a kind of an store idea and concept, which allows the pharma companies to spot, to put a spotlight onto the apps, which they think add value for the patients, for the fitness-seeking people, but also which maybe connects to a therapy or to a pill by reminding them to take the pill and increase the adherence, and so on and so forth. So it's not, the role would be to provide this visibility, provide a pre-selection which allows patients to better and identify the good ones from the bad ones out of those hundreds of thousands of apps which are out there at the moment. So that would be a potential role which exists already in other industries where, for example, banks cherry pick a selection of applications to help their account members to do their mobile accounting better, for example. And why shouldn't a pharma company not step into a kind of role like this?
Okay. I can talk a lot more about that because it starts to get into an area that I've written a little bit about, is certification of mobile mHealth apps as being, useful or accurate or good, so they would have to go through some kind of a process like that before a pharmaceutical company might want to put it on a list of recommended apps. Do you think that could become a too big a workload or for them to handle in terms of recommending apps? Maybe they might not like to get involved with that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but on the other hand, what is? I mean, if you look at all the effort they put into designing the project, getting the budget, getting the team members on board, internally finding the agencies, working together with the agency, I think, the effort of putting out those applications is also very, very high. So I guess running this aggregation business with identifying the right ones and then maybe getting them through a kind of a qualification test or a qualification process, I think the effort wouldn't be as big as the publishing role, as in the publishing role.
Well, it could be more useful for their patients who they might like to support, so it would be a better, probably a better way to provide useful apps to their target audience and benefit by doing that. Okay. Now, we've talked a lot about the apps, and I got a lot of insights from you. There might be one other area. We're talking about developing apps and other roles that the pharmaceutical industry could play. I did interview one pharma company, Astellas, that was collaborating sort of with an independent app that kind of worked with their product. I don't, here in the U.S., you can advertise to consumers about the medicines that the company produces. Mm-hmm. So this particular company, Astellas, has a product for what's called here overactive bladder. And so they teamed up with an app that was called Run P. So what this app does is tell you when it's a good time if you're at the movie theater, when it's a good time to go to the toilet, if you need to relieve yourself, and it tells you when's a good time during the movie when nothing much is happening, and then when you come back, it tells you what happened when you were gone. So what Astellas did was to put an ad in this app for their product. So every time the app was started up, the ad would show. But also they... in the movie theater, they also had an ad to download the app, and they gave free. The app was free because Astellas supported that. And otherwise, you would have to pay something for the app. I don't know what it was. So here's a case where they collaborated with another app, and that seemed to work with their product, but they put an ad inside the app. This is different than developing an app like we've been talking about, where it probably does not have anything to do with the, promoting the product directly. What do you think of that kind of collaboration, however, between pharma and another app developer?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's a doable way. I don't think that the marketing collaboration would play a major role, at least in quite a few countries where pharma companies are not allowed to market directly to the patients and to the consumers for most of the products. So there might be some restrictions to that, but finding other roles rather than publishing apps, that could make sense. Definitely, that's what we are saying. And whether it be it's more an incubator role or it's more an aggregator role, they might just want to provide the data they have for what what are patients doing, how do they react on the medicine, and then provide this data for third-party app developers, which then include it into their applications and make meaningful use of the data, and then report back what they tracked in terms of usage behavior to add value to the database to pharma companies. So there are lots of different ways to interact with the tens of thousands of mHealth app publishers and developers out there, which could make sense for the pharma companies. So that's what we are saying. The point we are making here is that we are not saying stop publishing. That's not what we are saying. We said it would make sense here to take a pause here and then rethink about the different roles you can play in the app economy, and maybe you have to balance the resources a bit differently the next few years in order to get a higher impact and a better outcome in the mHealth app economy than they had over the last 5 years.
Okay. Well, that remains to be seen how the next 5 years go. I'm very interested in keeping in touch with that and very interested in the new survey that you're doing. So if you have some closing comments and I want to tell people again how to take part in that survey, can you do that now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so everybody is invited who has an opinion about how the market will develop and what is important and what not. We invite you to go to the webpage mhealtheconomics.com and participate in the survey. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, I think I'll have more to say about that later in my newsletter or on my blog. Yeah. So we'll stay in touch. Ralph, thanks for being a guest.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Okay, and so this is Pharma Guy saying goodbye. Thanks for listening, and see you next time. Bye, everybody.